Hello, Sagittarius, and welcome to Cosmophilia. You belong here, your 2015 Planet Waves reading. My name is Eric Francis, the astrologer who will be guiding you through this most interesting time in astrological history. A time that makes me happy that I'm a minor planet astrologer, and I can see the details of what is going on deep in the heart of your chart, which, as you may know, points in the direction of the heart of our galaxy. The galactic center is in the sign Sagittarius at about 27 degrees of your sign, right late in the sign, a few days before the winter solstice. The sun aligns with the galactic center. That's kind of a big deal. And three ands. If that's not interesting enough, Sagittarius also aligns with this thing called the Great Attractor. The Great Attractor is a kind of center of the local universe. There's been some recent discoveries about the Great Attractor that I do not exactly understand, but it is this thing that is pulling millions of galaxies toward it at about the rate of speed of a million miles an hour. That is how fast we are moving. This whole effect of consciousness is a phenomenon of movement, much movement. The sun orbiting the galaxy, that's centered in your sign, and all the galaxies around us, all of them being vacuumed in the direction of this thing that no one can see because it's obscured by the dust at the edge of the galaxy. So it's far, 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 far away from our galaxy, but it is aligned with what is called the galactic plane, like the rings of Saturn, only it's the galaxy, and you can't see anything along the galactic plane because it's so damn dusty. And so they need to use all this special equipment like X-rays and gamma ray cameras and whatever they use to see all the other frequencies, and it's broadcasting on every frequency. It's crazy. And this thing is in Sagittarius. To me, this is what is so intense about Sagittarius, so otherworldly. I work with the signs every single day, and I have to say there's no sign that feels as unworldly as Sagittarius. That is in theory, that is to say, in working with the signs as concepts, and then in the Sagittarian people I know, there is something a bit extrinsic about you all, about you people who are here, and then it's a little like there's that kind of thing of like, and where did you come from? Maybe it's the galactic center. Maybe it's something over in the direction of the Great Attractor. Both of which come up in your reading this year. I am doing something different in introducing the astrology for all the signs, which is going back a little distance, and in the spirit of you belong here, talking a bit about where here is. Now, of all the signs, the whole concept of you belong here is kind of funny when applied to Sagittarius, because of all the signs, it's the one that probably comes closest to the expression, you're a visitor here. You're an observer in this very interesting place. You know of lots of other places. So let's say with Sagittarius, there's a you belong here now thing, and there's certainly plenty going on. It's certainly interesting enough here for you. It's difficult, but that's good. You like it challenging. You are one who rises to the occasion of a challenge, though it's also a bit exhausting these days, even for the very strong among us. It always seems like there's some new thing to deal with, and a lot of fear on this planet, which I know is antithetical to your nature. It is not your way of life to live in fear, really, of anything, and that necessitates your being what might seem like unduly strong. Like you really have to, you have to give it your all. And that's the time that we live in right now. So this story of yours goes back, goes back to 1995. No, it seems like a long way. We're talking about 19 years ago when Pluto entered your sign. And that was a big deal at the time. Pluto had been in Scorpio for a while, and at this phase of Pluto's cycle around the sun, Pluto is taking about 12 to 14 years to go through a sign. So it demarcates a special period of time. And I think of all the planets, at least those in common use by modern astrologers, Pluto is really the deep background. Pluto's the one that says this is the time that we are living in. At other times, it's been other planets. Of course, every planet gets a say. Every planet has a voice in this kind of harmony, cacophony of influences that are, you know, shaping and shaping our experience of existence and of consciousness. But Pluto lays a kind of bottom line. And when Pluto entered Sagittarius, the world kind of exploded into a new sensation of what the world could be. Everything became global. It was not long before that that President Clinton began pushing through various different free trade agreements, and the whole concept of globalization became a thing. It became the thing to do to outsource and import everything. We were getting into world beat music and world beat cuisine, and suddenly everything could be foreign. Whereas before there was a kind of pervasive xenophobia that really had a grip on the world, to the point where, you know, there's people of a certain generation for whom going out for Indian food is really freaky. I mean, for exotic, just take them out to the local Chinese joint. But under Pluto in Sagittarius, suddenly everything started to kind of expand. And this mix-up of cultures, this sort of melting pot experience, began to happen. With that also came the rise of mad religious fundamentalism. The Muslims and the Christians and the Jews all went fucking crazy and have basically been blowing each other up with a new phase of enthusiasm and excitement, and this has been largely a phenomenon of Pluto in Sagittarius. Now, it's over, right? That ended in 08, right? I'm talking about it like it happened yesterday, or like it's happening now, and it kind of is in a way, and it sets the stage for what's happening now. There were a couple of key points along this journey which really probably repeatedly upended your life. Now, some of you were children at the time this happened. Most of you were young to moderate adults as this was going on. And it was quite a tumultuous experience. And Pluto is stop at nothing kind of energy. And when Pluto comes through your life, you are transformed, and you were. And the logical direction of that transformation was made to become more like you are inside. Pluto has this way of bringing out the deeper nature of things and standing as a force to be reckoned with, and in the process making everyone whose lives it touches a force to be reckoned with. There were two huge major peaks of Pluto in Sagittarius. The first one was in, well, first one really was the three. Let's almost forgot a really cool one. Three of them. First one was in December of 1999. Actually, the whole autumn of 1999. And expanding the, you know, the lens a little bit, opening up to a wider view, all of 1999. That was the Chiron-Pluto conjunction in Sagittarius. Chiron came through Sagittarius in those years, made a conjunction to Pluto in 1999, and basically that was the aspect of the turn of the millennium. the Chiron-Pluto conjunction that was exact on one time only, get this, 12/30/1999, just one day away from Y2K, kind of saying, well, technically mathematicians and calendar keepers will tell you that the 21st century began on January 1st, 2001, and then you can also say that, well, astrology says that the 20th century ended on December 30th, 1999. There was the Y2K thing that never actually happened. Remember that? We were supposed to be waiting for every single street lamp in the United States to go out, discovered in the process they're all connected by computer or have little chips in them, all of which were programmed only in two digits to save bits and bytes. Remember, a buck a bit. And that didn't happen. It was a big fuss, though. Second major peak happens just 2 years later, not even in September of 2001. That was the Saturn-Pluto opposition of 2001. It was what gave us 9/11. Whatever caused 9/11, the astrology associated with 9/11 was the Saturn-Pluto opposition. That was a 12 and a half degrees. Sagittarius Gemini, and Saturn, a much quicker planet than Pluto, came blowing through town and formed an opposition, and that is always explosive. In this case, it was literally so. There were a number of astrologers who predicted terrorism for right around then. One predicted a war with Afghanistan. One, in some kind of trashy astrological calendar mixed in with shopping advice, said that there would be a terrorist attack on that day. So some people did see it coming. But what no one saw coming was the entire re-scripting of geopolitics as the result of the events of one day in history, or at least the superficial manifestation happening on 9/11/2001. So that was the second major turning point. And it too, like the Chiron-Pluto conjunction, which I didn't mention, by the way, occurred during the anti-globalization protests, the battle in Seattle of 1999, this major first ever anti-corporate protest begins global anti-globalization protests that were all the rage for quite a while. It was the political and social uprising of the very late 20th century, early 21st century, up till sometime around 2005. And that got sparked off by Chiron-Pluto. Then comes this kind of massive contraction event, Saturn-Pluto in an opposition, often a reactionary event or phase of history is indicated by Saturn-Pluto, but this was a threshold event and the world has not come out of it yet. Then things kind of move along and sort of stay the way they were for a really long time, and we get the third major event in Pluto in Sagittarius, and that was in 2006 into 2007. I'm giving that a two-year window, say, from early 06 into late 2007, and that was Pluto making a conjunction to the galactic center. There's an old Planet Waves annual called The Spiral Door. It will probably be linked from somewhere, but it's easy to Google Planet Waves, The Spiral Door. Go check out your reading in the 2007 edition, annual edition. It's open access. Anyone can get in there. And the spiral door was my image for Pluto making an exact conjunction to the galactic center, which it did precisely on three different days, but it marked a whole era of history. And that being this, you know, late in the first decade of the 21st century, there was a kind of encounter that the evolutionary force of Pluto had, and it had that encounter with the galactic center. And I believe this changed Pluto and the way we need to interpret Pluto. Indeed, Pluto was changed. It was demoted from being a planet to a dwarf planet. Stupid terminology. And considering they've never even seen a nice picture of the thing, we'll see that in July, by the way. Hopefully that gadget will work, called New Horizons. that is currently very close to the Kuiper Belt, almost out to Pluto. Incredible they could get there that fast. Only a few years. Okay, so this Pluto galactic core conjunction happens, and in the process, Pluto is demoted. And I think that the thing about that quote-unquote demotion was it was kind of a reconceptualizing of Pluto. And it was a reconceptualizing of Pluto, I think, from the concept of the evolutionary force is driven by death, which was the whole theme of Pluto up until that time, to the evolutionary force has to be driven by some other inner vector, some other homing signal, and let's have that homing signal be the galactic center. Let's point ourselves in that direction for some energetic reference point of what is spiritual. We live on the far edge of a galaxy between two galactic arms. We are in the boondocks. Our sun is in the sticks of the Milky Way galaxy, and it kind of feels like it here. And we need to know the direction where the sun rises. We need to know what direction home, and I think that the galactic center in Sagittarius is a handy reference point, kind of an orientation point on what direction home might be. You might want to consider that. The recording I'm doing now will be out after the sun's conjunction with the galactic center. Each year, though, it makes such a conjunction every year, right around the 18th of December. And, you know, I wonder how it is you feel in those last days when the sun is in your sign. In any event, this era of history, basically 1994 to 2007, really parts of 2008 are included in a little teeny bit of 2009. So when Pluto was transitioning from Sag to Capricorn, ends a major phase of your life, a time like no other. Not everyone has Pluto going through their sign, right? Because it takes 250 years to go around the zodiac. Now, why is this so important now? Well, it was very big news when Pluto was in Sagittarius, and everything that happened in the world could be attributed in some way or seen in harmony to Pluto in Sagittarius. And it was quite convincing at the time. Just recently, a report on torture conducted by the Central Intelligence Agency has come out. And, you know, one of the great spokesmen for the dark side of Pluto in Sagittarius, Dick Cheney himself, has spoken up in favor of torture and said he wouldn't do one thing differently. That's this very week that I'm speaking. And finally, Dick Cheney sounds like a tin pot dictator. He sounds like the person who he is. Now that we don't have that intensity, that emphasis of Pluto in Sagittarius, Pluto's moved on to Capricorn. It's changed signs and it's changed houses in your chart. It's moved along into the second solar house, Capricorn, the sign after yours. So we start with you, Sag, and then the second sign, or the first one after Sag, is Capricorn. So if you're Sag rising, that is your second house by whole sign houses. If you're Sag Sun, it is your second solar house, same basic concept. And this is a topic that I'll get into in a moment. Right now, I want to tell you why this whole Pluto and Sag thing is so important. Why it's important. Now, when Pluto was demoted, okay, it was demoted to being a minor planet. And so when Pluto is demoted from being a planet, partly lobbied by a guy named Mike Brown, who discovered Eris and a bunch of other things, Pluto is made into a minor planet. It's made into minor planet 134340 Pluto. That's the minor planet number. Basically, it's made into a minor planet just like any other minor planet, like 1 Ceres, or 2060 Chiron, or 944 Psyche, or Hidalgo. I think that's Hidalgo. Like 5 Estrella, and so forth and so on. It's just basically put into the minor planet catalog like every other minor planet. Now, people were upset about this. Personally, I think the joke was on astrology because it said, oh, by the way, that minor planet. Remember the World Trade Center that fell down? Remember those massive global protests that sparked off in late 1999? You know, remember all these things that happened and you said that was Pluto, Pluto, Pluto? Well, that was 134340 Pluto, a Kuiper object, like many other Kuiper objects. What's going on now, and for the past few years, but really now, is that there is a ridiculous collection of minor planets, including Kuiper objects and centaurs in the class of Chiron, and a diversity of other ones gathered in Sagittarius right now. That's kind of amazing. And if you're wondering why your life just feels so intense, you can look to that collection of minor planets for some information. And the thing that is happening in these years, peaking in many respects in 2015, is that one planet after the next is going over the galactic center. It's passing through the spiral door, as did Pluto in, just let me get these years right, 2006 and 2007. And so there is what I would call modestly, minimally, a spiritualizing effect happening, that each of these energies, which is in some way about a reclaiming of the soul or of making contact with some deep inner source or some facet of yourself without which you are not a complete being, is being reabsorbed into the whole. And one by one, these are going across the galactic center and having this kind of transformational experience. What this might feel like to you is a sort of never-ending path of becoming enlightened over and over and over again, or on different days, a never-ending path of confronting shadow material over and over again, or in the terminology of the Course in Miracles, repeatedly having to bring everything to the Holy Spirit. There's a thing in the Course in Miracles I think probably is worth quoting, which I try to do as sparingly as possible, which is, it is not such a good idea in the spiritual healing process, or the healing process, to bring light into the darkness. Rather, says Course in Miracles, bring the darkness to the light. And these planets don't all represent dark things, but they all have a dark side, and they represent healing processes. Healing processes always bring up shadow material. There's just no way to get around that, especially on the level of what we call psychological or spiritual healing, even if it just kind of comes up in a flash and we get a good look at it once and then it disappears. It still raises that shadow material to consciousness. The thing about this whole process is that it is persistent, it is repetitive, it is challenging you to be a more conscious and more aware person every time something like this happens, which is more or less ongoing, since there are so many planets involved and they move kind of slowly. So they're doing this long, protracted dance over the spiral door, the galactic center, over and over again. And it's almost like the film Waking Life, where you kind of wake up from the dream, and then you think you're awake, and then you wake up from that dream, and you're awake, and then suddenly you realize you're dreaming again, and you wake up from that dream, and it just goes on, and it never seems to end. Now, eventually, there is an end in sight. One of the interesting things I've noticed, I'm studying these planets super duper carefully as I do, is that first of all, the number of points in Sagittarius is gradually going down. Second, the greatest concentration of points, particularly of slow movers, is in the last half of your sign. In fact, on the day that that the sun enters Sagittarius in 2015, the slow movers are all in the second half of your sign, past the great attractor, which is right at the midpoint. They are Aureus, Ixion, Pholus, Cupido. Hybris is an asteroid, pretty quick moving. Quaoar, Galactic Center, Orpheus, also an asteroid, and Hylonomy, a centaur. So this population of planets is going to decrease radically in 2015 as things continue to move through. Several of the slow movers are moving out into Capricorn, and a number of the rest are still hanging around the galactic center. Now, this can have the sensation of anarchy. No matter how adept you are at handling this and working with changes and being the stranger in a strange land here on Earth, it is not easy to have this kind of activity going on. And there is something that I think is truly positive that is happening this year, in fact, a few days away from where when I'm doing this recording, which is that Saturn enters Sagittarius. And I'm viewing Saturn as two things mainly for you. One is an organizing principle. Very important for anything of a Sagittarian nature to have an organizing principle. This will give you the ability basically to focus on getting your act together, on making the changes that you need to make, mainly changes of a structural nature and changes that need to be imposed by discipline. Things that benefit from focus and that benefit from being in a time framework. This is a crucial strategy to use at this point in your life, is the nature of time. I know that of all the signs in the zodiac, yours is the most likely to exist in Kairos, this kind of like fifth dimensional version of time where you can sort of step off the merry-go-round and watch time go round and round and all that stuff, and maybe even have experiences of time moving in other directions besides just this one kind of linear thing, like water moving through a pipe, which we soon see that it's not if you look closely enough. However, in order to function on Earth, it really helps to be able to work with time in the more conventional sense of that word. And Saturn is going to give you that advantage. The other thing, and it is related to Saturn, to the time function of Saturn, is that no matter how weird you are, no matter how out there your ideas are, no matter how far away you came to get here, Saturn in your sign is going to give you the ability to have the cloak of normalcy, the ability to conduct yourself in a way that other people recognize from their limited viewpoint as being quote-unquote normal. This is very helpful because it is not easy to fit into this culture when your fundamental concepts of existence are so different than those of so many other people. And what Saturn is here to give you is a framework and a kind of a personality structure to adopt for a while, where you'll be able to shine the light of your personality through a prism that presents you to the world in a more organized fashion and allows you to connect with the world and its structures in a more kind of predictable way than you have in the past. Going back to 1995 when Pluto entered your sign, and you know, I hope you were born back then, but even if you weren't, you were born with Pluto in Sagittarius. I'm actually starting to meet people who were born with Pluto in Sagittarius who are like doing things like working at jobs and things. It's kind of crazy to think that that was actually 20 years ago that that began, right? This whole phenomenon that astrology watch with such great interest. In any event, the intensity that has come through Sagittarius since that day in 1995 when Pluto entered your sign and has yet to relent will be greatly assisted by having this kind of cooling filter of Saturn. This principle that is at once a structuring principle and a very handy limiting principle, because you can see and know and believe, you can see, know, and believe that anything is possible. But that anything is possible thing is enough to kind of drive somebody wild, because anything is possible, and yet there are so many restrictions, so many limitations, so many obstacles, and the intensity that you have got has taught you how to penetrate many of those obstacles. But it's like, after a while, you just want to work with what's available and not have to go so far out of your way to, like, rearrange everything to get anything done. And Saturn will basically indicate its nearly three-year trip through involving Sagittarius. It dips in, and then it dips back out, back into Scorpio, and then in September of 2015, it enters Sagittarius to stay for a little more than 2 years. So what happens in very late 14 and through the first half of 15 is a kind of a test run of Saturn in Sagittarius. We'll then retreat back into Scorpio, where there will be some unfinished business of the nature of Saturn and Scorpio to resolve, and then resume motion through Sagittarius. And that's a two-year, approximately two-year and two-month journey, and this is this time of basically being able to make what I would call mature changes and achievements that in no way change the underlying nature of who you are. But it represents a kind of period of settling down, a time of focusing, and a time of being able to engage with people on the level of what they perceive as being recognizable. Saturn is very recognizable. I know it's not a favorite planet of astrology, but any astrologer who doesn't get along with Saturn is not really worth their salt. Saturn's the thing that you really have to make peace with, and then I would say after that, some combination of Pluto and Chiron. But Saturn, you know, we're all dealing with this. We have to live in the world of structure. Rent must be paid. There are very few people who don't have to pay a specified amount of money every month to stay where they are, to keep a dry roof over their head, warm roof over their head. And Saturn gives us many other gifts and opportunities. And the gift of the limiting principle that it's giving you is the principle of focus, the ability to make certain specific choices about what you want and then to develop those things. One last comment about Saturn and how you got here. The past approximately 2 years of Pluto in Scorpio, which kicks in right at the end of 2012, right around the time of 12/21/12, the famous winter solstice that an entire industry of pundits and philosophers and theorists and Caucasian shaman predicted would be something, you know, super duper special. Right around then, right around 12/21/12, Saturn enters Scorpio. You have Scorpio positioned in your chart in a place that is deep and dark as Scorpio can be, which is the 12th house. It's the sign right before yours. And it's one of the things that helps define who you are in some ways. It's very descriptive of how deep you are internally and the extent to which you are. Well, it's kind of like a massive back room of awareness. And the thing about Scorpio is that it's so human. It's so, the issues of Scorpio, the themes of Scorpio are so unlike the exotic themes of Sagittarius, right? They're the thing that all humans have to go through, all the Scorpio stuff about attachment and sex and death and exchange of resources and the obsession with reproduction that so many people feel. And this is in kind of a veiled place in your chart. It's like the secret sign that you are. And so for as much as you present a picture to the world, and Sagittarians I know are extremely convincing and compelling that way, that you are a kind of a guest, there is a layer where you're directly connected to the karma of the human race, and that we find in Scorpio in the 12th house. And Saturn moving through there over a period of years, period of 2 years, which may have been for you two very long years, where you really wondered what exactly was going on, represent a time of what you might think of as house cleaning, of clearing out these back areas. Saturn always likes to, you know, provide a clean sweep. And in addition to that, and directly related to that, was a long opportunity to confront yourself on an inner level. Even though you may have been in a long-term relationship, but that through these years, there was still a level of like the main person you were relating to being the me nobody knows, rather than, you know, being easy to figure out or easy for others to identify with or recognize. Really, your reality was focused inwardly. And I think that one of the most refreshing things about Saturn in Sagittarius that we're going to experience is an externalization of experience, an extroversion of experience. And you in particular are likely to notice this in a very palpable way as Saturn leaves your 12th house or 12th solar house and enters your sign. To me, that is like an emergence. It's almost like a birth of a newly reborn, newly restructured person who, in many ways, is much more comfortable with yourself than you were before that transit, because there's nothing like getting you to actually be comfortable with who you are than a heck of a 12th house transit. And Saturn going through the 12th house definitely counts. Fortunately, it's in calendar years short. It was only a 2-year transit. And I would note that sometime around late spring into late summer, there is this retrograde of Saturn back into Scorpio. And so don't be surprised if sometime around the middle of next year, you find yourself feeling like you may have felt in this late 12 to late 14 phase, you're not actually regressing. I mean, you might feel like that in some people, places, things, and habits might manifest for you, but they are in a greatly reduced form, and they are offering you opportunities to do kind of a final tune-up job on what you went through during the peak Pluto in Scorpio years, late 2012 into late 2014. So there's a bit there. Most of what I've talked about, note that it relates to two houses in your chart, the 12th and the first. The 12th being the secret self, the veiled self, that which is behind, behind the scrim, and then the first house being that where we experience normal waking consciousness and, actually interact with the people and things in the world around us. And they exist like, kind of like they're in parallel universes. And that, you know, requires some, let's say, negotiation. What we get really is one of the very hallmarks of 2015 is a blending of those parallel universes as Saturn makes its way back and forth across the Scorpio-Sagittarius line. And so one way to think about what you're really doing is finishing the kind of interweaving of your most secret private self and the one that you feel the safest and the most comfortable presenting to people in the world around you. All right, I'm going to take a short break and come back with part two and talk about the other houses in your chart. I'm going to take a look at things like your relationship house, which is Gemini, and what is going on in there. We're going to talk a lot about Libra, where there's a kind of another mad alignment of planets happening. And this one, It's kind of like a Libra is going to be the new Sagittarius, which I think could be fun and give you some relief and change the emphasis of where you come out and play and do your spiritual work. And we're going to look at the fifth house of passion and artistic exploration, and end with a look at the 10th house of achievement, where before long Jupiter will arrive. All right, thanks for listening. I'll catch you in a moment.